Joining us, the host of the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show here on 105.7 The Fan, Steve Molesky. And I guess, Steve, this has to be rock bottom.
Wow. Careful saying that, because I said it about three times during that stretch. You'd hope so. I mean, you'd hope so, Kenny. But, let's hope that that is true. I don't know that it is. Because every time you think it can't get worse, I mean, you know, after Friday night, we thought they were going to have all this pep and in their step and spark to win Saturday night, and they got shut out. So every time you think something can't go wrong, it does. And let's hope that we're passing that.
All right, Steve, to go to fix this, how does the minor league system compare with the other teams? Or maybe a better question would be, who's got the best minor league system in baseball?
Probably Kansas City, Tampa, to the top two.
Okay, how much different is Baltimore's than Tampa or Kansas City?
I mean, the Orioles are probably 20th or worse right now, but a year or two ago they were ranked as high as 9th when they had guys just arriving or on their way to the major leagues, and they you know, I don't know how they fix it. I wish I had an easy answer, but they just have to get better at the minor leagues. Maybe they have to examine everything they do, from all the coaches to the scouts to player development people to training methods. I mean, they're not currently producing guys who are considered top-end guys, but at the same time, they probably have some guys who wouldn't have to go much farther to potentially get higher rankings, like Avery and Mahoney and Hose, and obviously Machado is considered one of the best prospects in baseball. So they're not doing great, and they do have some potential there. But right now, they're ranked in the bottom third of baseball there.
Steve, do they spend as much money? Do they have as many coaches?
Scouts.
Well, no, not scouts, but like development people down in the minor leagues that are going to develop these guys, you know? And I guess on the big league level, do they have, like Ken says, do they have as many scouts as these people do that are out in the field looking at the high school players, the college players?
I don't know a listing of their amateur scouts as it relates to other teams. They feel like they certainly have enough on the domestic front, where they get criticized, and I just did a two-part series on this yesterday and today on my blog on massinsports.com, is a lack of perhaps scouts, but more importantly, a lack of spending on international prospects. This is a big failing for the Orioles, in my opinion. And I just had a long interview with Andy McPhail published yesterday, with his take on why the Orioles don't do more internationally.
What did he say?
The bottom line is he is just hesitant to throw out a huge signing bonus like some of these guys are getting, $3 and $4 million. But I think when you cut to the chase, the Orioles could do a lot better internationally without giving out $3 million to one player, but maybe giving out $2.5 million to many different players that you can get. And it's been proven that some of these top international guys, they didn't sign for $3 million. They might have signed for $50,000 and over the course of 5 years developed from age 16 to 21 into something really special.
Talking to Steve Molesky, host of the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show here on 105.7 The Fan. So, Steve, what obviously it's striking to hear you so pessimistic, because you're as optimistic an Orioles guy as I know. So how do you fix it, or is it fixable?
I think it's fixable, and I think what happens is, Ken, when you're mired in a losing like this and you're a fan like we all are, it feels like you'll never win again or nothing will ever go right. And there's a part of you that says that. But then you step back and you realize that Wieters, you know, Jones, some of these guys are legitimate young talents. You realize that Mattis, Arrieta, and Britton are legitimate major league talents. They're all not pitching like that currently, that we know. But we know they can, because we've seen it. So you just got to produce a couple more of those. You have to have a couple more Mattis and Arriettas and Brittons on the way, which right now they don't seem to have. But again, you know, the kid Oliver Drake's tearing it up in Frederick. Bobby Bundy has played the good review. Steve Johnson has pitched better. There might be some out there that are going to make it and help this club, but there's no one right now that King Jim Callis of Baseball America would tell you, oh, the next Briton in the Orioles system, it's player X. There's no one he would rank like that.
Hey, Steve, is Joe Jordan and his staff, are they thought highly of around baseball? And what are the reviews on them thus far?
They are thought well of around baseball, and I've asked Keith Law and Jim Callis more than once their opinion. They're two of the best-known experts in America on amateur scouting. And they both think Joe Jordan does a good job. Andy McPhail last week told me, and again, I printed this on NationSports.com, or posted it, I guess I should say, that in McPhail's opinion, Jordan is secure in his job, and he wants to sign him to a new deal. They haven't done it yet, and we don't even know if McPhail's going to be back. But I think if McPhail is back, I think Jordan will be. I just presume that's going to happen. And so the Orioles have made a very strong investment in the domestic draft. Their spending is among the best in baseball. Where they fall off is they haven't hit big on some of these draft picks yet. Where other teams are drafting, you know, Evan Longoria, the Orioles haven't drafted anybody who's done like what Longoria's done or David Price. They hope that maybe Zach Britton will be like that one day. So they just got to do better, and they certainly have to do more on the international front.
Now, we talked to Steve Phillips last Friday. He said, in his opinion, the Orioles needed to spend on power arms and power bats. But he said the problem with the Orioles is they won't give a pitcher, especially somebody who's had an arm issue in the past, more than a three-year contract. So they're never going to get the elite pitcher giving only a three-year contract.
And thus the grow the arms phrase. Because Andy McPhail, and I would think Peter Angelos also, do seem extremely reticent to give out the long-term contract of pitching. They just feel it's fragile. They look at contracts like Barry Zito and A.J. Burnett and John Lackey, and they say, 5 years, $80 million, we're not going there. It doesn't work out. And there's evidence to say that it doesn't work out. But there's also C.C. Sabathia. He worked out pretty well. So they're not all flops, and you have to pay. Pitching is at such a premium, Vinny, that you have to pay a ridiculous dollar to get a top-end pitcher. So I think the Orioles are trying to, as you say, grow the arms, and they say grow the arms, rather than sign someone to $80 million. But that big contract, they're going to have to dole that out for a bat at some point. But I think they're more likely to do it for a hitter than a pitcher.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking to Steve Molesky from the Baltimore Baseball Tonight postgame show here on 105.7 The Fan. You talked about the Orioles and the next Zach Britton, next Brian Mattis. What about the current Zach Britton and Brian Mattis? What's going on with these guys?
You know, I'm okay with what they're doing with Britton. I think he's had an absolutely fine rookie year. And he's showing some signs of, you know, a performance fall off a little bit. So this is giving them the chance for a mulligan with him, and by that I mean get their 20 days of service time now when they didn't take it with the original plan, which is the start of the year. At the same time, it'll keep him from pitching many innings. We all know that if he pitched every fifth day the rest of the season and pitched six or more in each start, he wouldn't make it through the season. He doesn't have that many innings left in his arm because they only want him to finish at about 170 or so. So that's an okay thing. And the other thing is he'll be reunited at Bowie with Kenny Steenstra, who I have talked and written about is the guy who's been the most impactful on Zach Britton in his minor league career. And that's not my opinion. That's Zach Britton telling me that. That's the guy he's had the best relationship with and been with a lot. So they're going to send him to the Britton Stixit doctor, which is Kenny Steenstra, the Bowie pitching coach. And Mattis, he just got to keep working at it. He keeps saying he's not hurt. They looked him over, and, you know, there's another fixed doctor at AAA, Mike Griffin. And, you know, but there are some fans who wonder, we've got these fixed doctor pitching coaches in the minors, shouldn't they be in the majors? Because both Mike Griffin and Kenny Steenstra are pretty highly regarded.
Now, Steve, I read something the other day where Buck said, you know, he was talking about the Red Sox, about how they can withstand injuries because of their depth, and he says, you know, they spend and they have great scouting system. Do you think he was sending a message?
Well, I don't know. I did, and I keep plugging my blog, but tomorrow I have a two-part series with Buck on the minor leagues where I talked extensively with him recently. And believe it or not, we didn't set this up for you guys to lob it to me where I could throw a plug here. But He was not critical then of the Oriole farm to me. But, you know, I guess publicly he probably wouldn't be that critical of it. But I think he's been in it now a year to see that some of the depth is lacking and some improvements are needed.
Steve, let's finish where we started. Orioles losers of 7 in a row and 12 of 13. Your opinion now, can they turn around? What do you think they need to do to actually get back to respectability?
Well, you know, it starts with that pitching. And if they can't get better starting pitching than what we've seen, it's going to be a disaster because, you know, the team ERA is over 6 the last 21 games. So somehow they have to fix the pitching, whether that means Britton gets straightened out in the minors, Mattis returns, Arrieta trusts his stuff better, because Jake, to me, just seems searching right now. And it's like, Jake, you've got 95. Just throw it. You've got really good stuff. Just go compete. And, you know, those young guys, that's really, they got to start to do it. You know, Guthrie, too. And then who are they going to add? I mean, who are they going to add to this pitching staff to start some games? They're probably going to either have to bring someone up, acquire someone, or just try to get someone in there that can give them some innings so they can at least hold their own. And then I'm hoping in the second half we see, you know, more young guys get a chance, whether they deal Vlad or Lee opening at bats for Reimold, or they call up Brandon Snyder, who's been hitting with more power this year on the farm than ever before, or Josh Bell has 16 home runs, or just maybe, you know, just I would just like to see younger guys play. I mean, it was terribly disappointing to me when Ryan Adams was here for 3 weeks and hardly got off the bench. I don't get that. Why would a team do that? And if you're going to lose for 14 straight years, let's see what some of these young guys look like.
Hey, Steve, now, Buck's been here for a year now, so he's got a pretty good feel for these guys and what his clubhouse is like and what fits in his clubhouse. Do you see a huge turnover after the end of the season?
I would think so. I mean, you know, just on some guys who probably won't be back on one-year deals, like Vlad and Lee, and then we might start to see some of that turnover this month with the trade deadline. You know, Mike Gonzalez's deal is going to be up. I can't imagine anyway he's going to come back. He's pitched so poorly. You know, there's just going to be more turnover again. It's not going to be totally massive because, let's face it, there are places on the diamond where they feel they're set, at least for in the immediate next couple of years, like Jones and Markakis and Wieters and perhaps Hardy and Reynolds has signed through next year. So they don't need to fill every hole, but they certainly do have several holes. And then I think they need to assess this winter, okay, our young pitchers, are they ready or not? How much do we have to augment that? And, you know, we're back kind of where they're better than last year, but that's not saying much because they were so bad for 105 games. And there is some progress being made, but it's just hard to see in this division. And then look at how many games they still have left with the Yankees and Red Sox, who right now they can't seem to beat.
Well, I guess with the Orioles, it's a prevailing theme. Every year it seems the same. There are some answers, but always more questions than answers. Steve Molesky, the Baltimore Baseball Tonight post-game show starts back up again when the season starts back up again. Steve, as always, pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it, guys. See you later.